The Perek Maseches Sanhedrin, the Mishnah says that one of the principles of our belief is that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. And the Mishnah says not only is this an Iker of Amunah, but we believe that this is written in the Chumash itself. And even if a person, Rashi interprets the Mishnah in Chelek, and even if one believes in Tchias HaMeisim, but he doesn't believe that it says in the Chumash, is also Ein Lachelik Olam Abua. He himself will not be Zerchet to Tchias HaMeisim. One who feels that Tchias HaMeisim is Einim in HaTorah. The Rashi says he believes there will be Tchias HaMeisim. He doesn't believe that it says it in the Chumash. So the Gemara goes into a whole dissertation. Where does Taka say it in the Chumash? The Gemara goes one pasuk, another pasuk, another pasuk, another pasuk. In each pasuk you can dig so. The one of the several pasukim that the Gemara quotes is the pasuk here at the beginning of Parshas Va'era. The Gam Hakamos is Brisi Yitam, because the author says he appeared to the Ovis Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he made a covenant with them. Lotos Lahem is Eretz Kinan, it's Eretz Megurim Shagorabot, to give to the Ovis Eretz Kinan. When was it given to the Ovis? They didn't get Eretz Kinan until they crossed over the Yarden, in days of Yishuv Benun, no? In days of Yishuv Benun. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were no longer alive. So must be, the Gemara says, that if the Tchias HaMeisim is going to take place, the Ovis, there will be a Tchias HaMeisim, the Ovis will come back to life, and at that time, they will get Eretz Yisrael. They're going to get Eretz Yisrael at that time. The other Tanoim and the other Amoraim Dingzach, apparently they hold it's not Muchach. Los Islam means to give to their descendants, but not showing it to them, so they quote a different pasuk, and each Tana, each Amora has a different pasuk. I remember once Rabbi Gerelik said that there's a commentary on Chumash by one of the students of Mendelssohn. It's called the Beer of Mitzvah. In Europe, they didn't like the beer. The beer is a liquid of all of the different Perushim Alaterik. Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, and all of the Rishem, Rashbam. And he always tries to figure out which is what he considers the best shot in each given pasuk. So what did the Gdolim not like about the beer? Some of them put the beer in cherem, that you're not allowed to use it, and other people did use the beer. What was so terrible? The one who wrote the beer wrote a drush sefer, Yain Halvonen, that everybody used to use for drushes. So what's so bad about the beer? There's nothing wrong with that. So I remember Rabbi Gerelik said that one of the tainas that they had against the beer was that every time the Gemara says Bikan Remes with Tchias HaMeisim and Atar, so he always quotes the other pshat in that pasuk. So on this pasuk he'll give the other pshat, and on the other pasuk he'll give the other pshat. The truth of the matter is that all of these pesukim that the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Perek Chelek, all the pesukim are al-pi pshuta, not really talking necessarily about Tchias HaMeisim. Again, this pasuk, Los Islam, it's Eretz Kinan, it's not so befeirish. Anyway, this is the shaila that Meforshim ask on the Gemara. How can the Gemara even understand the pasuk like that? Los Islam is Eretz Kinan, that refers to the Ovis, they have the Tchias HaMeisim. Halachically speaking, will they take a get Eretz Yisrael at that time? Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv Benun was Nischal Kol Shvatim, the Yud Bei Shvatim. And Los Ilovo, it was divided into 12 parts. Los Ilovo, the pasuk says in Cheskel, is going to be divided into 13 parts. And the Gemara asks in Yesh Nechon, what is the significance of the 13th part? So the Gemara says, that goes for the government. The government is going to take, for government offices, although the government is going to take one 13th of the land, and the 12 shares are going to be divided amongst the 12 shvatim. So it's going to be divided amongst the 12 shvatim. So what shevet do Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov belong to? They don't belong to any shevet. So how are they going to get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Ashreidim are bothered with this question. How can you understand Takeb Shat and Pasuk Kipshuto? To understand it literally, one opinion in the Gemara, Reb Simoi, understands the Pasuk mean Kipshuto. Los Islam is Eretz Kinan. Eretz Yisrael will be given to the Ovis after Tchias HaMeisim. How the Ovis going to get a share? It's only Lishivtechem. Whoever belongs to that Shevet, well, they're going to run the government. They're going to have the 13th shares. Who's going to have a place? Why should they be crazy enough to go into politics? Why should they want to run the government? What does it mean? I saw in a recent sefer someone points out a suggestion that there's a pasuk in the end of Yecheskel when the pasuk says Los Ilovo, the land is going to be divided in 13 chalokim and 12 shvatim and so on. So the pasuk says that the gerim will also have a share in Eretz Yisrael. That's the pasuk shalt and the pasuk. The gerim will also be neutral in chelik boris. So the question is, how can that be? But what shevet do the gerim belong to? So the pasuk in Yecheskel sounds like it says that whatever shevet they divide, whatever the nachla, the gerim will decide to live in, that they'll be zoicha to a share in that nachla. Wherever they decide to move, so they will be entitled to get a share over there. So perhaps that's what the pasuk shot in the pasuk in Yechezkel sounds like it says. It's lefi pshuto. So perhaps that's what it means over here also. Perhaps these tanoim who understand lo seif lohem and teretz kinan, as referring to the others after tchias hamesim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will themselves come back to life, and they themselves will live from chelek baretz, which shave it. So wherever they'll decide to live, if they decide to live in Yerushalayim, so they'll get the place, either Yehuda or Binyamin, whatever side of the city they decide to live in. They'll decide to live in Be'er Sheva, Bnei Brak, whatever their choice will be. Whenever they'll make up their mind where they want to live, that they'll have the status like Gerim, perhaps, after being Neitlim, Chelek Boris. So Lefi Pshuto, the Poshim Shat and the Poshik, not like the question if this is really Poshim Shat. Poshim Shat and the Poshik is Lassus Lam Tereshina, means to give to the Jewish people. It doesn't mean to give to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, after Tzir HaMez. To give to the Bnei Yisrael. And then the Poshik continues, to give Eseret Megurei HaMashagor Bo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises he's going to give in the days of Yishuv Benun, he's promised the obvious he's going to give the Bonin. The first time they entered Eretz on the days of Yishuv, he gave them Eretz Megurei HaMashagor Bo, that, only that part of Eretz Yisrael where the Ovos lived. The Ovos didn't live, they were floating around in different parts of Eretz Yisrael, they only lived in the Eretz Zion Amin, they never lived in the Eretz Kenik Nisi in Kadmon. That the Gemara says, that's Sefer Lasi Lavoi. In Moshe HaMashiach, the Pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside 3 Ari Miklot, and Yeshua Ben Nun was commanded he should set aside an additional 3 Ari Miklot. And then the Torah says that Kiyachav Hashem Elokecha is Gvulcha, Yasabta Lecha Ot Shalosha Amala Shalosha Eilu. That when the Moshe HaMashiach, when we will add on to the Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Kenik, Nizi Kadmoni, the Eretz Gimel Amin, then we will have to add on another 3 Ari Miklot. Question, what would be the need for it? There's going to be so many murderers then that you're going to need 9 Ari Miklos. That is the question, what do you need it for? But the Rambam points out in the end of Hilchos Melachim that all of the din HaTorah will remain the same, and the only din in the Torah that's going to change the Moshe Mashiach is this din, which the Torah itself says is going to change the Ainu. There'll be 9 Ari Miklos instead of 3. So the Pshat and the Pasuk here seems to be saying that HaKadosh Baruch is going to give Eretz Yisrael, Loseis Lohem, Pasuk Pshat, to give to the descendants. That part of Eretz Yisrael where the others live, namely only the Eretz Zion Amamim, the first round, the first time around. If it's the way the Gemara Darshan's Los Islam is to give to the others, Avram Yitzchak Yankov, after Tchias HaMeisim, that's not only Eretz Megurei HaMashagor Bo, it's not only the Eretz Zion Amamim, it's the whole Eretz Yisrael, even including the Esther Amamim. The Kenny can easily find by me as well. So the Pashup Shat and the Pashup sounds like it means Los Islam to give to the descendants. The Eretz Zion Amamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages Moshe Rabbeinu that he should go again to the Shlichus to Paro. He shouldn't be disappointed about the way things seem to be going. He's going in the right direction, and he promises, don't worry, V'chein Amor L'Bnei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, the Nevuah, the Rekzesi, the Yitzal, the Galti, the Lakachti, the Hedesi, Eschem, El Ha'oret. And the Gemara comments, the Talmud Yerushalmi comments, that this is the mocker for the Pakonas Chachamim, that you have to drink Arba Kreis or something. Gemara has another, the Yerushalmi has another mocker, that in the end of Chumash Bereishis, when the Sarah Mashkin had his dream about being reinstated, but he says, he mentions the word kos 4 times. He squeezes out the grapes into the cup of Paro, and since that dream that the Sarah Mashkin had, the way it was interpreted by Yosef, is what led Yosef to become the top man in Egypt. And that was a key point in bringing about the Golus Mitzrayim and then the Gula. So that's why the Chachamim Amasak and Abakosis Kenega, the Abakosis and the Chaloim of the Sar Mashmash. So Lachar, these are two different opinions in the Talmud of Yisham. There's a famous difficulty that on the last Perek in Pesachim and Arvid Pesachim, we have both Pirush Rashi and Pirush Rashbam. So on Pirush Rashi, the Bala Mechabes Dechemet, the author of the Stali, the one who wrote the Sefer Dechemet, it's sort of an encyclopedia of halachic topics, alphabetically arranged, approximately alphabetically arranged, the Aleph phase is in order. within every letter is not exactly the alphabetic. He was born in Eretz Yisrael, so under Aleph, Eretz Yisrael comes first. Even though it's Aleph Reish, should have put first Aleph Deis, Aleph Gimel, Aleph Dalet, no, Eretz Yisrael comes first. That's approximately alphabetically arranged. So the Chemed pointed out that an obvious kasha, there's a pilpul sefer from it's called the Kli Chemdo. So the first Barter that he has on Parshas Va'era is a long letter that he sent to the Bala Machaber of the Chemed. The Chemed just died when? 60-70 years ago. He was an odd time. He was born in Eretz Yisrael, and he had a rabbanus in Russia, and a Sephardic Shekhila, and he wasn't familiar with the Minhagim, because he was a Sephardic, there were different Minhagim there, different kinds of Sephardic Shekhila there. And he sent letters to all the rabbanim in Europe to try to be mevar what the Minhagim are, and then he moved back to Eretz Yisrael. He's buried in Hebron. He goes to the cemetery in Hebron, you can see his matzeva there. So the Kli Chemda has, Kli Chemda was very recent. He visited America also. Went back to Europe. So the Kli Chemda has the first piece on Parshas Va'era, is a third that he sent to the Bala Machaber Chemed to try to be Miyashe, the Spiris in the Rashi. The Rashi in Perek Avet Tzoch, in one place quotes the one Drosha of the Yushan, the other place he quotes the other Drosha. On the Mishnah, on the opening Mishnah in Avet Tzoch, when it says the Takanas Chacham that you have to drink Avet Kaisais, Rashi says the marker of the institution of Abakrisis is the Arba or the Shanishal Gula, the Dalet, the four parts of the Gula. And later in the Gemara, when the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Nashim Chayovit, the Abakrisis, Afan Habi Yosane, so all of a sudden Rashi writes that the Omasak and Abakrisis can egg the four times that it says Kois Paro, the Odi, by the Chalayim of the Tzarmashim. So why does Rashi all of a sudden change his mind here? Why didn't he put both Perushim on the Mishnah, both Perushim on the Gemara? Why does he write one Mokar on one place, one Mokar on the other place? So this day, so the Kli Chemda and others try to suggest to Yishuvim what the Kabbonis Rashi was over here. The Kash is better than the Tirus. Anyway, the Mepharshim discussed why were the Chachamim Misakin only four crises, why weren't the Misakin five crises? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Hevesi Eschem El Ha'aretz. It says, V'Hotzeisi, V'Yitzalti, if you're counting up all the verbs that are mentioned here in the Pesukim, so it says, V'Hotzeisi, V'Yitzalti, V'Gualti, V'Lakachti, the Hevesi Eschem El Ha'aretz. So why not have five crises? Some say, if you look in the Gemara, there's a Braisa, and I would talk about there is a discussion among the Tanaim regarding the Kreis Chamishi. In fact, Ramendel Kasher, the one who did all the work on the Torah Shlema, put out many, many years ago HaGadosh Shlema. So the Tavadah Shalim has a long dissertation about this Kreis Chamishi, what the various Shittas HaTanayim were. So some say that's what we call the Kosa Shel Eliyahu. Kosa Shel Eliyahu means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't yet fully fulfilled this promise that he basically has Eschem El Ha'aretz. The other he fulfilled. So he says that he taught the Gaalti, the Lakachi Eschem Lidiyam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already fulfilled 100%. The basically Eschem El Ha'aretz was partially fulfilled. He came back there, it's called, then we were kicked out. Then he came back a second time, then we kicked out again. And now we came back a third time, so when we'll come back and we won't be thrown out again. Then when it'll be everybody not short, may Allah Muslim, then the fifth promise will be fulfilled also. Then the Chachamim will come around to be mistaken the Kois Chamishi. That's what many say is what we call the Kosa Shel Eliyahu. That when Eliyahu Hanavi will come, then we're gonna have five Kois. So Eliyahu will come mean, but at that time the fifth promise will also be fulfilled. In the fullest sense. I'd rather say that we call it Kosa Shel Eliyahu, like we say Teiku. In Europe, the Malam, the Mises say that Teiku is the Rosh Hashanah. The Rishonim say like that. The Teiku is the Rosh Hashanah. These be Taritz Kushas V'Abayas, the Pashtus, that it's not correct. Because the Gemara, the Pishkara pointed out, the Gemara never says Teiku on Akasha, the Gemara only says Teiku on an Ibayah. The Gemara has Akasha means a spear. Here it says white, and here it says black, so that's Akasha. And Ibayah means, I ask a question, what's the din in this case? The Gemara is when they don't have an answer, so when they ask a kasha, they don't have an answer, so they say kasha. When they ask an ibaya, a question, what halach is, and they don't have a resolution to the ibaya, and so they'll say teiku. Teiku means that you leave it where it is. It's an Aramaic word. But the Balei HaTosfos have like this arrangement. You can say for Shita Mekubetzes on Maseches Gittin that the Chidor refers to. Alikos Abishan, we don't have it published yet. But it must be manuscript somewhere, that he does to it in the 1700s, and he quotes from that sheet in Kubetzes that the Balei HaTosfos already used to have that practice. That when he used to teach children, he used to say Teiku, the Rosh Hashanah, Tish Be'i Taretz Kushas Rabbi. Just to be Mechazik V'Emun and V'Yes HaMashiach. So Acharonim say that perhaps that's why we call this Kosher Shel Eliyahu, that Eliyahu HaNavi will be Poshet this Shiloh. He will answer this question as to whether we should have a fifth Kais or not, because of the fact that there's a fifth promise over here. A strong question though. Why weren't the Chachamim stocking five curses? That's back of the reason why, because the Hebeisi wasn't fulfilled. So some other Achrayim suggest that the Hebeisi Eschem El Ha'aretz is unrelated to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Yitzias Mitzrayim was finished already. The Ramban writes in the Hagdomah to Sefer Shmos that Sefer Shmos is the book, Sefer Bereishis is the book about all of the beginning of the world and the beginning of mankind, and beginning of the Jewish people, and that's why it has all the stories of the Avos, who were the founders of our religion, and that's the beginnings, the gracious of the Jewish people. And Sefer Shmos is the story, is the book that has the story of the first Golus HaRishonim HaGula Mimeno, and the Gula. Then the Ramban asks, but when you come to the end of Shmos, you still don't reach the Gula. The Gula doesn't come until after the Chamishuchim Shetarah completed, and Yeshua Benun takes over Bnei Yisrael over the yard and into Eretz Yisrael. So Ramban answers no. Then in the end of Sefer Shmos, the Torah speaks at length about the building of the Mishkan, and that's considered the Gula. The Gula can take place even in Chutz Lorets. We don't need Eretz Yisrael to be considered the Gula. Gula means when you have a Beis HaMikdash. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, that's the Gula. Why? Because the Golus means that we lost the special Hashuas Hashchina that the Yovis used to have. Ramban uses an expression based on the pasuk in Iyos, "Besoda laka alei ohalehem," that they had the Shechina was resting on their ohalim of the Ovois. And the Medrash has an expression in Bereishis Rabbah that the Ovois hein hein hamarkova. We have the Loshon that appears several times regarding Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankis in the Chumash, implying that the Shechina was resting on the Ovois. So that's why the Tanoim, that's why the Medrash have such an expression, the Ovois, Hein Hein Hamarkov is this, the Ovois were a Markov for the Shechina. So the Golus means that they lost this special status. And the Gula means when this special status was returned to them, namely, Aydei Binyan HaMishkan. So the truth of the matter is, Behavesh Eskam Al Horat is an unrelated Haftach. That's another promise. There are lots of promises. Before the Arba Kaisis were instituted by the Tanaim, Kenege, the four parts of the Gulas Mitzrayim. It's the Hoytesi, the Yitzalti, not some Dalad Lusherishal Gula, the Yishalmi has a Loshan Dalad Gulas. It's the four parts of the Gula. Hoytesi, the Yitzalti, the Galti, the Lakati Eskam Liliyom. The Lakati Eskam Liliyom, that was the Gemara of the Gula. The Maimon HaSinai with the building of the Mishkan, that was the Gemara of the Gula. But really, the Hevesi Eskam Al Horat, as great as Eretz Yisrael is, and as important as it is in our Hashkof HaSoylon, but it's still not, it's not the Gemara of the Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The Gemara of the Yitzhak Mitzrayim was the Maimon HaSinai with the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan is considered the Hemshech of the Maimon HaSinai. Ramban HaChumash writes that the purpose of building of the Mishkan is to retain that status that they had acquired on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. And then Moshe Rabbeinu uses the expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to say to Nevuah, "Nasati osalachem b'rasha ani Hashem." Moshe Rabbeinu tells them in Nevuah that he's giving them Eretz Yisrael b'rasha. The Gemara has a fascinating comment in Maseches Bava Basra and Yesh Nechem that Moshe Rabbeinu himself years later was not sure what he had said. He himself didn't know what the meaning was of the word b'rasha. He said in Nevuah, he said whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say that, but he wasn't sure whether the word b'rasha means a Yerusha, that the Bnei Yisrael are going to get Eretz Yisrael to Yerusha Manah Kodesh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu Lech Lecha Me'aretzcha Me'la'aretzcha Me'beis Avicha Lo Et Asher Arecha. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. So when he promised to give Eretz Yisrael to the children of Avram Yitzchak Yankis, when was that promise fulfilled? Was it only fulfilled in the days of Yishuv Benun? Eretz Yisrael didn't belong to us until after they crossed over the Yarden and they conquered it? Oh no, when Avram Avinu walked around Eretz Yisrael, so at that time he was ready to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzutik regarding what pshat was in Parshas Lech Lecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that he's giving him Eretz Yisrael means that he's promising him in a distant future, we'll get it in a day of the noon. Or he told him no, that right now it will belong to Bnei Yisrael. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said the Nevuah, "Nasati osalachem b'rasha," he himself didn't know exactly. He himself was not sure 100% whether b'rasha meant a Yerusha that we're getting, that Yeshua Ben Nun is going to give Bnei Yisrael the Yerusha that they got from the days of Avraham Avinu, That's the Lashon HaGemara. Anoch Morasha means that they will begin to get it. When they'll cross over the Yarden, they will begin to get it, and then they will transmit it to their descendants as an inheritance, as a Morasha. So the Gemara says he wasn't sure Tila Maisa with the B'nai Tzolofcha. Then the Rav Shlom told them that the Halacha L'Maisa, the Pesach, the Emes of Pshat and Morasha is that it means a Yerusha. That all along it belonged to B'nai Tzolofcha. From the days of Avraham Avinu on. The pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, they didn't pay attention. But then Moshe came and Bnei Yisrael tells them all the promises. They say to the altar, the altar will cast, and they didn't pay attention. But Loshem on Moshe, he tells the ruach, and Mehaloido koshor. Then the Rabbeinu Shalom tells, so he delivered the nevuah. He was told to deliver the nevuah. Delivers it, and they're not paying attention. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hakadosh Baruch Hu, both are there a paramelech Mitzrayim. Go now, tell the nevuah to Paro that he should send Bnei Yisrael free. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a Tal V'Chaimer, that's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash. This is one of the 10 places in the Chumash that you have spelled out a Tal V'Chaimer. Tal V'Chaimer was Hemenei, so Lo Shamu Elad, if Ishmeini Paro Bani Aval Spasai. I don't make a good presentation. Why should Paro want to listen to me? So all of the Achreinim are bothered with the Kasher. This Tal V'Chaimer has an obvious pircha. The Torah tells you what the pircha is. Loshama motion because they grew up now by the kosher. The pasuk already says that the reason why they didn't listen was because of kotzirocha avoy the kosher. But when he speaks to Paro, there isn't a kotzirocha avoy the kosher. So if he comes into Paro and he's all relaxed and rested, he's not under tension. He's the king, and he tells him, "I just got an avua prophecy from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. You have to set the Jewish people free." You know? If a prophet could come in and tell you, and you would be convinced that the man is a prophet, not Sana. The Shulman walks into the White House. He says, I'm a prophet. He turns water into blood. He turns a stick into a snake. He turns a snake into a stick. And the stick swallows up all the other snakes. And he stands on his head, all in these minute floods. And he says, you see, Mr. Clinton, I'm a Navi. And then he says, the Rabbi Shalom told me, you better set the Jewish people free or you're going to get it over there. So why shouldn't Paro set the Nei Yisrael free? He's not afraid that they're going to turn him into a snake, into a stick, into blood. What's the Kavach HaMeim? So Hashem Eilai. Why is that a Kavachayim? It's a Kavachayim priest. That's what all the Achrayim is. If he's speaking of a Kavachayim, it's a Kavachayim priest. It's a good question. They say over a verse in the name of one of the Chassidish Rebbes. I forgot already. One of the early Chassidish Rebbes, generations ago. But the verse that they say is a famous word. The word that they say is not in accordance with what the what Rashi quotes in the Chacham. The Chacham says that the meaning of the pasuk is the Kavachayma. The word goes as follows, that we find that Yoina HaNavi was given an avua to deliver to the Anshin Ninve that they better because of the tshuva, or the city is going to be destroyed. In another 40 days, the whole city Ninve is going to be destroyed. So he didn't want, he was running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He went on a boat and he wanted to run away. He didn't want to deliver the nevuah. So the Medrash comments, the Chacham had a tradition. Why did Yonah HaNavi not want to deliver the nevuah? Because he knew that the Nevi'im kept on giving Tachacha to Bnei Yisrael and they never paid attention. The Jewish people never did tshuva when the Nevi'im confronted them with their averis. And he felt that the Anshei Ninveh would listen. So Yonah HaNavi felt that this would be such a bizarre to the Klal Yisrael that once in the history of the world you send a Manovi and a Chayz of a Tshuva right away, and then you saw the Rebbeinu Shalom keep on sending the Nevi'im and they don't listen. So that's why Mishum Kvod Mishol Yisrael, he didn't want to deliver the Nevuah. That's a Rashi quote on Sefer on the Nevuah Yoina HaNavi from the Medrash like that. That's why that was the motivation of Yoina, why he didn't want to deliver the Nevuah. So he ran away on the boat thinking that he's going to get out of it, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom forced him to deliver the Nevuah. He got him thrown off of the boat and he got him swallowed up by the fish and spit out on the dry land. He said, you've got to go deliver the Nevuah whether you like it or not. So that's what this, I forgot already which one, one of the early Chassidish Rebbe said that that's the Taichin the Pasuk. He's not saying a Kal V'Chaimer. It's against what the Rashi quotes in the, from the Medrash. So this Rebbe said he's not saying Kal V'Chaimer. He's just saying, hey, I don't want to deliver this Nevuah to Paro. He's actually going to listen. Paro is going to listen. Hey, Bnei Yisrael, I shan't wait lie. Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. And Paro is going to listen to me. So it's going to be a kitrig on Bnei Yisrael. So he tells his Bashem, I don't want to go to Paro. What am I going to do if he listens? Ech ishmeni Paro, what's going to be if Paro listens to me? Bami araf sasayim, so this Rebbe said, I'll be left speechless. What am I going to say? Set Bnei Yisrael free, and Paro is going to say, yeah. Okay, I agree. I set him free. And then, but they don't want to go. They don't want to go. What am I going to do? I'm going to be stuck in the middle. Paro is going to agree to set them free. And Esau don't want to go. They like it here. They're going to want to stay. See this in practice. But the Pashup Shat, Pshut Hashem Nikri, is that it is a Kavachimer. It is a problem with the Kavachimer. I saw one of the commentaries on one of the Svar Machumish has a comment on a Pasuk. The Ramban writes in one place. This is famous from the Drosh HaSaran, but the Ramban Machumish already has this. That why did the Ramban Shalom choose Taka, a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Aral Svasai, Makvatpeh? Why did he choose such an individual that he should be the one to speak to Paro, that he should be the one to give the Torah, Hashkina? So the Drosh HaSaran has this in an elaborate Drosh, Bariches, and the Ramban has it in two lines. That lest in some future generation somebody will think that Moshe Rabbeinu was such a smooth speaker that he pulled the wool over our eyes, that he convinced us somehow, Nisim and Nefloes, you know, magic trick or something, Nisim and Nefloes, and he convinced Bnei Yisrael that the Torah is Bnei Shamayim, and it's really not so. So when it came to Matan Torah, it came to Torah Bnei Shamayim, the Rabban Shalom picked this person, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is absolutely not a good speaker, in order that he should be the one who gives the Torah. So our tradition has it that the Torah was clearly Min HaShemayim. It wasn't that a human being talked us into anything because he wasn't a good speaker at all. And then the Ramban, that's what the Ran has. And the Drosh HaSaran has that famous part by Riches. And then the Ramban HaChumash has that also, the Kitzur Nimrat. And then he adds on also, lest anyone think that the Tzitz Nisam is also because Moshe Rabbeinu was such a polished speaker, so he convinced Paro to set Bnei Yisrael free. So no, that's why the Ramban Shalom Bedavke wanted one who's an Aral Svasai, Mekvat Peh. Then when he speaks to Paro, he should keep on stuttering and stuttering. He can't say that he convinced him on anything. It wasn't, he could barely speak. It wasn't that he was such a smooth speaker that this was a political, this was accomplished with the political maneuvering. It was clearly Min HaShemayim. And from the Ramban on Chumash is mashma a little bit that Moshe Rabbeinu only spoke fully when he was saying over the dinim, and when he spoke to Paro, and when he spoke to Bnei Yisrael, he spoke well. That's the question: is that true? Not that he was really akvat peh. Only on those occasions, when he spoke to Paro, he spoke fully, and when he said over dinim, he spoke fully. That's what some assume is the pshat in the Ramban, and they want to say that perhaps that's the pshat in the Pasuk. But Rav Moshe came, Bnei Yisrael, like it says, came Bnei Yisrael kadoyvers. The came means it's good, direct. Came means correct, correct. So here also, by Rav Moshe came, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke properly of Bnei Yisrael, without any kvad peh, without any aral sasayin. Mashiach came when he confronted Paro, so then he was speaking as an aral sasayin, then he was speaking fully. So perhaps that was also included, that's what one of the Mechorshim writes, perhaps this was also included in the Kal V'chaimah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Madach, when I speak to Bnei Yisrael, I speak with a polished language, I speak well, and they don't listen to me. So when I'm going to come to Paro, I'm going to speak Aral Svasayin, he's going to listen to me. Perhaps that was the Kal V'chaimah. Not that the Kal V'chaimah was, these people are going to, it's in their benefit, so they should certainly want to believe me, and it's detrimental to Paro. So the Pashup Shad is that that's the Kalachayim. It's in their benefit and don't listen, so that's tremendous to Paro, so why should he listen? So they say, no, that wasn't the Kalachayim. The Kalachayim was, I spoke to Bnei Yisrael with a smooth language, right on when she came, spoke properly to Bnei Yisrael, and they didn't listen to him. Yeah, he's my life, Paro, and the Aras Farsayim, and I'm going to speak to Paro, I'm going to be in the Queen of Aras Farsayim, unlike the time that when I spoke to Bnei Yisrael. The question if that's really accurate or not. Is that really historically so? That's Takadav Shah, the way it may appear from the Ramban. That's not exactly what the Ramban said. The Ramban says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a poor speaker? So he says, in order that everybody should know, it doesn't say that he only spoke poorly on those two occasions. He says, why did Baruch Hu choose a poor speaker? Because on those two, at those two points in history, it was crucial to have a poor speaker. The one who negotiates with power should be a poor speaker. No one should think that this was accomplished politically, that everyone should realize that the Yetzias Mitzrayim was Min HaShemayim. No one should think that Moshe Rabbeinu pulled the wool over their eyes when he told the Torah over to Bnei Yisrael that it was clearly Min HaShemayim because he was a poor speaker. He couldn't possibly have convinced them of anything. So it's not that the Ramban says that those were the only two times that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke fully, and in his regular speech he spoke well. That's not what the Ramban says. this is a little bit twisting and turning the words of the Ramban. Pashim Shat, I would not assume like that. The same thing Pashim Shat and Drasha Saran. The Ram doesn't say either like that. In fact, the Pashim Shat would appear to be just the reverse. The Moshe Rabbeinu all week long was a Kvatpeh. Except when he's saying over the halachas, then it was Shechina Medaberes and Tachrona, then he was not a Kvatpeh. There's the Pashim Shat. He wasn't speaking. That's how the people knew that it was Shechina Medaberes and Tachrona, because it wasn't his voice. All week long he couldn't say a sentence straight. He was such a clap fan on our Asfa sign. When he came to saying the halachas only, then everything flowed out smoothly. That's the Pashup Shat Menachem, just the reverse from the way this suggestion goes. The next pasuk is very obscure. We don't know what it means. By Dabar Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron v'yitzaveinu b'nei Yisrael l'hoitzis b'nei Yisrael m'eretz Mitzrayim. No, the Ramban says the Ramban Shalom picks an Arafa sign, so it will be clear that the Torah of Menashemayim, he didn't sell any bill of goods to the people. Why? Because the people knew that he was a poor speaker. That's what it means. They knew he was a poor speaker when he said over the dinim, so it was Mamashkin and Daber Tachana, so they knew that this was Menashemayim. Ramban doesn't explain in what sense it was compelling that the Torah was Menashemayim. So that's the Pashup Shat was just the reverse from the way he said in the statement. When he said the demon, he spoke clearly. This pasuk is obscure. What is the last pasuk right before Shemit? Adav Hashem Moshe Al Aaron, Vayitzaveim Al Bnei Yisrael Hotzi Shnei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. What does it mean? The Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, Vayitzaveim Tziva Alein Lahaniga Menachas V'Luz Balos. They should take it easy with the Bnei Yisrael. They shouldn't get angry. V'Luz Balos. Anyone who's a leader is always anyone who's in a public position is always going to be attacked by somebody. It's not shaykh. Otherwise, that's the nature of the world. It has to be like that. So Moshe and Aaron will command it by Kadosh Baruch Hu, by Tzavim El Bnei Yisrael. They will command it Al Bnei Yisrael. Even though it says in the pasuk El Bnei Yisrael, the Rashi understands Sivo Aleihem. The El is the same as Al Bnei Yisrael, but it's also commanded Moshe and Aaron that they should be sovel all of the bizyanis that Bnei Yisrael will. He told them in advance, you're going to suffer a lot of bizyanis, but you have to take it. When you continue to read the parsha, though, you get the impression that perhaps this pasuk means something more, pasuk to Gimel. Because the very next pasuk, the second aliyah, Sheni, on Shabbat, starts, Eile Rasha Beis Avos, and Bnei Ruven, and Bnei Shimon, Eile Shmos, Bnei Levi, and Bnei Gershom, and Bnei Kohos, and then Merari and so on, until Moshe and Aharon and so on. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, how did this come in all of a sudden over here? You have in the Yichus of only the first three Shvat of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and then you stop in the middle. What happened? Etc. What happened to the rest of the Yichus? The Rashi says, well, the Torah really wants to write the Yichus of Moshe and Aharon. So once the Yichas Moshe and Aaron said, Derech Agav, the Torah writes also the Yichas of like on a computer. Like when you put something on a computer screen. So you get to the paragraph that you want. So you roll other things off. So the Torah rolls off. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, oh, Moshe and Aaron, finished. That's the print that was off until Moshe and Aaron. That's all we're interested in. And then we go weiter. So what do you need the Yichas of Moshe and Aaron for? Why does the Torah have to write the Yichas of Moshe and Aaron? We don't know who they are. It's the first time that these figures are being introduced to us. You know already from before who they are. So they're already in fire mercy, said. What's the need over here? So they quoted the name of Ragavala Soloveitchik. I think it could even be in the Sefer HaChumash. Ragavala said that he wrote himself on Chumash. A comment on this pasuk, on this section, and on this pasuk by Daber Hashem Moshe Velam by Tzavim of Bnei Israel, that goes as follows. The Gemara says that when you appoint people to be members of a Sanhedrin, any Sanhedrin, whether it's Sanhedrin Gdolah of Yeshiv Liyachad Zikain, or a Sanhedrin Tana of Chav Gimel Zikain, so they have to be Miuchosim. How do you know they have to be Miuchosim? You shouldn't appoint a Ger, and you should shout about Mamzerim, the Gemara discusses. So the Gemara says, how do you know they have to be Miuchosim? Because the Pasuk says in Parashas Vahalos, that it's Yatzvu Shom Itcho, that you should choose the Yeshiv Mizikain, and they should stay with you. So the Gemara has a drosha. Itcho has the connotation of the diamond block. They should be similar to you. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu had a nice yichus, so too all of the other members of the Sanhedrin have to have a decent yichud. Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of different things. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, so why don't you say you can only appoint someone from Shevet Levi to be a member of the Sanhedrin? Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall, according to the Talmud, so you say you can't appoint a short person to be a member of the Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu had different qualifications. How do the Chacham know to pick out? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was a miyuchad, so too all of the others who are appointed to the Sanhedrin have to be miyuchad. So Tosfos asks that question in Sanhedrin. How did the Gemara know to darshan itcha b'danim loch that he goes on miyuchos? So he suggests, perhaps it's based on these psukim over here, that the Torah says HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time appointed Moshe by Tzaveim al Bnei Yisrael, he appointed them as the Manhigei Ha'ida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Moshe and Aaron as the Manhigim of the Klal Yisrael. And because on this occasion these in Parshas Shmoyis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't appoint him yet as the head of all of Klal Yisrael. He just sent him as a Novi. Not every Novi is the Manik HaEidah, but the Manik of Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Meshech Chochma, Rav Meir Simcha, has a comment, a beautiful comment, on the contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu's actions, Parshas Shmoyis, and his actions in Parshas Va'eru. In Parshas Shmoyis, he keeps on refusing, according to the Medrash Rabbah, for 7 days in a row, he refuses to go deliver the Nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to deliver. The Paro that he's going to set Bnei Yisrael free, he has to feed Bnei Yisrael. If not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to force him to leave. So for 7 days, he keeps on refusing. Every day, he gives a different excuse why he doesn't want to go. It's Hasar Bas Kol against his brother Aaron, who's not a good speaker. Jewish people don't deserve it. Paro's not going to believe. They're not going to believe. He's not going to believe. A whole Chag Gadya. Every day another tainus. 7 different tainus why he doesn't want to go. And then it says that he was punished. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he was giving Ribbono Shel Olam a hard time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, hello. When he suggests the taina about Hasogah's Gul against his brother Aaron, so the Baruch Hu says, hello, Aaron Achicha HaLevi, your brother Aaron HaLevi is coming towards you. Baruch Hu Samach Belibo. There's no Hasogah's Gul. Will be very thrilled to hear that you are also a Navi and the two of you will go together. So why did the Pasuk mention, hello, Aaron Achicha HaLevi? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that was the dig to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was his punishment, that originally the plan was that Aaron should be the Levi and Moshe should be the Kohen. But now that you give me such a hard time, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to take away the Kohen from you and give it over to your brother who should have only been a Levi. From now on, Aaron is going to be the Kohen. You're only going to be the Levi. You and your descendants will not be the Kohen. So in Parshas Shmoyis, Moshe Rabbeinu already heard that he was punished for refusing to deliver the message, to deliver the Nevuah. And then you read in Parshas Va'era again, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo Daber Al Paro. He says, no, it makes a kalachem, heimene, saloshah moedarech, ishmeni farva, v'ani avas v'asayim. Why did he refuse to go? Didn't he learn his lesson from last week? That he was punished for refusing to go. Wasn't he afraid he's going to be punished now? And how come he was not punished now? The Medrash has a machloek. One opinion in the Medrash is that he was punished this time as well. Rav Meir Simcha is asking, according to the way Rashi doesn't quote that Medrash, according to if you learn Chumash and Rashi, leaving out all the Midrashim, so that's the question. How come Rashi quotes the Medrash that says in Parshas Shmoyis Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for refusing to deliver the Nevuah? In Parshas Va'era he was not punished. So Rav Meir Simcha suggests that perhaps the teretz is the following. We have a halacha in the Gemara in Brochus that says that if a Gabbai calls you up for an aliyah by the Sefer Torah, you don't give him a hard time. You don't tell me you're not prepared, you didn't prepare them after, or whatever, give him to someone else. You take the aliyah, you go up right away. The Gemara says, Shlosh Advan Mikatsum Yama Vishnos Vishalodim. There are 3 things that cause people to die young. One of them is, if they call a person to lay in, like Kriyas HaTorah, to take an aliyah and doesn't want to take it, so that's Mikatsum Yama Vishnos Vishalodim. Masha'ini came, the Gemara says, if the Gabbai is mechabit somebody to serve as the Shliach Tzibah, to be the Chazan, so then the Gemara says, the first time he should refuse, the second time he should refuse a little bit, and he should start getting ready to go. And if the Gabbai invites him a third time, then he should go. He should wait till they tell you 3 times. That's what the Rav wants, I will explain first. So why is there a difference? How come, when you get to Kriyas HaTorah, you have to go right away? When you get to serving as the Shem Tzibur, to serve as a Chazan, you have to wait till they ask you 3 times? So Parshat Pshat, perhaps you could say that it's a Bizoyan HaTorah. The Sefer Torah is waiting, and they call you off for an Aliyah. Maybe it's because of Bizoyan HaTorah. So Rav Meir Simcha and the Sefer Meshech Chochma suggests a different Pshat. He says, no. He says, when they call you for an aliyah, they're not appointing you as the Rosh Hashiva. They're not appointing you as the Manig Hadorah. They're just asking you to do a mitzvah. If they mechab you to do a mitzvah, so you have to run to do the mitzvah. But when they ask you to serve as a chazan, the chazan is considered al pi din the shliach hatzibur, the shas. Shliach hatzibur, that's already a sarara. The permanent shliach hatzibur for sure is the position of sarara, but even a temporary shliach hatzibur. Shliach hatzibur means that he's representing the whole kehillah, and he's citing the chazaras hashas on behalf of the whole kohol, on behalf of the whole tzibur. So that's the position of sarara. So the Derech Eretz dictates that you should turn it down a little bit. It's an act of arrogance. They say, we'd like to appoint you as the chief rabbi of the world. And they say, okay. If you insist, okay. You don't even demonstrate any humility at all. We'd like to have you serve as the shliach hatzibur. He says, oh, fine. And he just walks up to the yomim. So that's not the acher. The acher dictates that he should act with a little humility and say, no, I'd rather not. Until he asks you the third time. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, why is it when I call up the Chasam Torah or the Chasam Bereshit, so they say, Amod, Amod, Amod. Why do they say three times? So he said, because these are special aliyahs. The Gemara says that we learned in the first parak of Baba Basra, Shmanim Pesukim Shabbat Torah, Yochid Koryos. That there were four different pshatim in the Rishon, and one of the pshatim was Yochid Koryos and the Yochid and Yuchad. Supposed to give the biggest Tamachachim, the Rav. Supposed to give the Rav the aliyah of Chosin Torah. And then he gives the Chosin Bereshit. Also, you pick out the Samachubadik of Balabas. But that's really like an aliyah of Kovid. That's a very Kovidik aliyah. We have many other aliyahs that are Kovidik. Shlishi, Shishi. There's Adibris, Chazak, whatever, Mafti Yoyna, whatever, Alpim and Hagid. But Medina the Gemara, according to the way those Rishonim say, there's only one Aliyah that's Alpidin, more Mechubah than the others, that you're supposed to give to the Yochid couriers. You're supposed to give it to the outstanding Talmud Chacham in the community, that's the Chosin Torah. So that's why the meaning has it that we say Amod, Amod, Amod three times, and you say that also three times. Look at those long Rishus, you say nine times, you say the word Amod. You say three times Amod. So the Rav suggested that perhaps the reason why is because that's also it's not just they're asking you to do a mitzvah like every other creation, they're asking you to serve as the yochid, as the special unique individual who deserves this aliyah of Chosin Torah. So that's like when they ask you to serve as the shliach tzibur, that Derech Eretz dictates that you should turn it down until they ask you the third time. So that's why we ask them three times, so you should take the aliyah. So that's what the Meshech Chochma explains over here, that in Parsha Shmois the Rabbanu Shel Olam just asked Moshe Rabbeinu to deliver a message, deliver a nevuah to Paro, and he turned it down 7 days in a row. He refuses to go. So Rabbanu Shel Olam says, I'm going to punish you. I ask you to do a mitzvah and you don't go to do it. But in Parshas Ve'era, he didn't just tell him again, I want you to deliver a message to Paro. He says, this time by Tzavim al Bnei Yisrael, he's appointing Moshe and Aaron as the Manhige Hador, as the Roshei Klal Yisrael. So Derech Eretz dictates that you should turn it down the first couple of times until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will insist, so then you take the job. Derech Eretz dictates that the person should act with a little aniva. So we understand very well why Rav Ovel explains the Hemshech HaPsuk and why it says Eile Rashi Beis HaRoisam Mitoch Rashi writes Mitoch Shuhuska Kliach HaShiv Tushalevi Ad Moshe V'Yaron Mishol Moshe V'Yaron Hiskol Yachsam Derech Paldosam from Ruvenan. So why is Huskot Liach Hashiv Tushalevi Ad Moshe Amishul Moshe? Why does he have to mention the Yichus? Because it was only at this time, not last week in Parashat Shmos. Parashat Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't appointed as anything yet. He was given a nevuah, and he didn't want to deliver the nevuah. Finally, he came about to do it. He delivered the nevuah. He wasn't appointed to any position of Sarara. But here, he and Aaron and this pasuk Yud Gimel by Tzavim al Bnei Yisrael, they are being appointed as the Manhige Hador, as the Roshei Hakohol. So the Torah has to mention the Yichus because that's a halacha. When a person is appointed to a position of Sororit, we learned in the beginning of Bar Basra. And Sem Tosim means not only Melech, it means Kol Mesim is the Mashma. Sem Tosim, the Kefaloshin applies, Kol Mesim is any positions of Sororit. So that's how the Gemara knew the Darshan the Pasuk that says in Bahaloyskov, Yisyat Rishon Itach, Itach the Daimim Loch, that just like you are a Meuchas, so too are the other members of the Sanhedrin have to be Meuchas. Why don't you say, just like you're 7 feet tall, they all have to be very tall. Why don't you say, whatever, you all have to have a secular education. He was brought up in Beis HaShaltar and suddenly went to university, whatever. Why don't you say, they all have to have traveled abroad. He ran away to Midian. He had a lot of things, Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's longer kept it. Miyuchasim, just like Moshe Rabbeinu is a Miyuchas, so to all the other members of the Sanhedrin, have to be miyuchasim. How do they know which aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is because the Torah mentions that. And Parshas Be'era, here it says when Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed, when he and his brother were appointed to a position of Sarare, so the next parsha has a long Eile Rosh Beis Avos, and the Torah tells us the yichas. The Torah tells us that in order to qualify for this position of Sarare, there had to be miyuchasim. So that's how the Tanoim knew the Darshan Itok, the Gan of Law. Just like Moshe was a miyuchas, so too the other members of the Sanhedrin have to be miyuchasim, because to be appointed to a Sanhedrin itself is also a position of sorority. Even before you pass in anything, just to be appointed to a Sanhedrin is a position of sorority. That's why you find again, at the beginning of Shlishi, Moshe Rabbeinu again turns it down. He doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go. Because the Baruch Hashem told him this time that he's appointing him to a position of Sarara, so Derech Eretz dictates that he should turn it down. The passage is very interesting. Reinu Saticha Elohim Lefaro. Elohim Lashon Chol, it's not Lashon Kodesh. It means a Dayan. Like in Parshas Mishpatim, where it says "V'nikra Bal Bais Elhu Elohim," is a lashon chol. It means to the dayanim, to the bezin. Here it also means "V'nei Saticha Elohim." The Far Rashi says "Shofei." What kind of a shofei? Because the pasuk says in by the Bris Ben Absorim that. The Gamas Hagoy Asher Yavod Adon Anochi. But the Prophet says he's going to judge and he's going to punish the Mitzrayim. Here he's Arach Be'eretz Lo'olam. Babad B'Yilas Mar Me'ashan the Gamas Hagoy Asher Yavod Adon Anochi. But the Prophet says he's going to punish them. So apparently the Esa Makois were not really for the purpose of forcing Paro to set the Nesol free. That was Makos Tcheres. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and he tells him the first time he should set Bnei Yisrael free, so he says, and if you don't set them free, hinenecha herig is bincha b'chayrecha. What does he tell him first? Makas Tcheres, that was at the end. Why doesn't he go in order? So the answer is, that's how Rav Avraham Soloveitchik is quoted as having said. The answer is, he's not, Sirashi quotes from the Medrash what the Pshat is, that if you have two nations are waging war against each other, so neither of them wants to tell the other nation what the secret weapon is. We don't want to be megala that we have so many bombs and so many ships and so many planes and this and that. So we make believe that we have mi yodea how much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to make believe anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he tells him the final market. If you don't let Bnei Yisrael free, he doesn't say I'm going to bring dam. Dam may not convince him. The market Bechoros was what finally did convince him. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to keep any secrets because he's all powerful. So he tells out the secret. He tells all of the weapons. The worst possible punishment that he's going to give was the Makas Tcheres. And Paro still didn't listen. That's how Rashi quotes from the Medrash. He quotes in the name of Rav Avraham, but he said a little differently from the Medrash. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to keep secret all of his artillery. But rather, Pshat was like this. You should set free Bnei Yisrael, and if not, Hinenecha Herig is Bincha B'Chayrecha, I will see to it that you set them free. That Makas Becherus was for the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have a mitzvah pidyon aben zeichan lamakas becherus. So the achronim are bothered with a kasha. Why don't we have some mitzvah zeichan lamakas dam and a mitzvah zeichan lamakas choshech and a mitzvah zeichan lamakas tzvazeya? Why only pick out the Makas Becherus? So the answer is the Rabbanu Shalom didn't give a mitzvah zeichan to each one of the nisim in the floor. He doesn't give a mitzvah zeicha. It wasn't zeicha lamakas becheres as a nest as a meichis, we should remember this historical event. It means Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a lot of mitzvahs, Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Baruch Hashem wants us to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Makas Bechorah was the clincher. It was at the occasion of Makas Bechorah that Paro officially set free Bnei Yisrael. He said at this time, that's what the Medrash says. At Vayibach Tzialaylo, Paro was running around the Mitzrayim looking for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he made an official declaration in the name of the government. And until now, it used to be Avodim L'Paro, Mekan L'Yelech, the Avodim Ta'akodesh Baruch Hu. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared also, Rashi HaChumash quotes it, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, Kli Bnei Yisrael Avodim Avodahem, Asher HaTzeisi Yosem Yeretz Mitzrayim. That was declared also at Chatzos, at the occasion of Makas Becharis. And Makas Becharis was the Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have a mitzvah thinking of Ben Zechel HaMakas Becharis. Not so much to remember the Ness of Makas Becharis, but to remember the Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's like all the mitzvahs that we have Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. The other Teisha Makas were not for the purpose of affecting the Yitzias Mitzrayim. The others were for the purpose of punishing the Mitzrayim for the Averis that they had done. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said B'nevuah in advance, the Gamas HaGoya Asher Yavodah Don Anochi, I'm going to punish them. I'm going to judge them and punish them. Kifi Ha'onish HaRoy Lehem. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu at this time. Reina Saticha Elohim Lefaro. I'm appointing you as the Dayan. You are going to be the Bezdin. And you're going to have to paskin up now what Onish he deserves. So every time Moshe Rabbeinu makes a declaration in advance, he's not some delivering in Nevuah. It's not like the other Nevi'im. Yishai and Yirmi and Cheskel and all the other Nevi'im. They just live in the Nevuah. They don't serve as a Bezdin to determine what punishment their listeners deserve. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not only a Navi delivering a message. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shofet to paskin the Onish. And then the Pesukim say, Taka later, by Tzfadeya, I think Rashi points out, so Rashi quotes from the Medrash, each one was punished. First Paro was the first one to sin, he was the first one to be punished. Then Ubi Amecho. Then V'chol Avadecho. The punishment didn't come over Vasachas. This was an Einish, it wasn't Stam. For the purpose of forcing them to set free Bnei Yisrael. That was Makas Bechorah was to force them to go, to set them free. The other nine Makas were a punishment. In fact, the Gemara says that just like Mishpat Rishoyim the Gehenim is Yud Beit Chodesh, the maximum time a Jewish Rosh suffers in Gehenim is 1 year. And the Gemara points out the Mishpat the Dora Mabul was Yud Beit Chodesh, that was a punishment. So too the Mishpat of the Esa Makas took also Yud Beit Chodesh. That's what it says in the Gemara. It took the course of year. It means it was a mishpat. It means it was a punishment. So that's what the pasuk means over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed as the Elohim Lefaro, as the Shefei, the Paskenois, how much Einish there should be. It's interesting, at the end of the parasha, Rav Elvelo Soloveitchik is quoted as having made a comment regarding the Borod. He borrowed. There will be borrowed. He borrowed before Eretz Mitzrayim. Al ha'odom, al ha'behem, al kolayis, al sada be'eretz Mitzrayim. So they quote the name of Rabbi Pasha Pshat is that there was borrowed. There was borrowed. There was hail all over. So Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik had the impression that the pasuk was not saying that. It was only saying that borrowed only fell on the odom, on the behem, and on the aces. It didn't fall on other places. It only fell where it was going to accomplish the punishment. Not that there was a plague that happened to kill people and the heinous and so on. No? The Makkah only fell there, didn't fall other places. Because this was intended with Taras Onish, only to the extent that it would be manish was it brought. If it's not going to serve as an Onish, so there was no borrowed.
Isn't that the I'm sure you're going to, of course, try to get both of you.
So there Moshe Rabbeinu starts with the Esamakas. So it says before the Esamakas begin, first Moshe Rabbeinu has to demonstrate that he's really a Navi. So he was given two simonim. The first simon was that the Mata was converted to a Nochesh, then switches back again to a Mata. And the second simon was that he converted all of the, he converted the water into Dam. And that's called a Dam. Hadoga Sheba Yor, Thomas Uvoasha Yor. So the Gemara in the Dorim has a comment on this pasuk, but Hadoga, the Torah quotes it. The Doga, all of the fish die. The fish need water in order to live. They need oxygen. But they have blood, so that's not enough. It's not, you can't drink blood and remain alive. You have to drink in the oxygen in the water. So the pasuk says, Hadoga Shabia Tomus, means all of the fish, whether the big fish or the little fish. Nonetheless, the Mishnah in the Dharm says that the word doga, if a person takes a net, that the word doga only refers to the little fish, and the word dag refers to big fish. So the Gemara asks, how can it be for a second steer to the Chumash? The Gemara says, no, Loshen Torah Luchud, Loshen B'nei Adam Luchud. The Torah is not written by Loshen B'nei Adam. B'nei Dharm Halachach Loshen B'nei Adam. When a person takes a net there, so to what extent is he bound to follow the meaning of the words? That depends on the usage, that depends on the way people speak, doesn't depend on biblical Hebrew. In fact, the middle of Nedarim has around 30 blot where the Mishnah is, and the Gemara gives you all of these details that this word means this, and this word means this, and the other word means that, and so on. So the Miri always comments repeatedly on those Gemaras, it means Boso Makama Boso Zman. That was the connotation of these Hebrew words at that time with Kufas HaTanoim or Kufas HaMarayim. Not necessarily Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, in America, also people speak Hebrew with one usage of the language, and in Eretz Yisrael, certain words have a different meaning. Totally different meanings. It all depends on Fiyos HaMok and Fiyos HaZman. So B'nedorim, it all depends on the usage. In fact, there in the Dorim, the Mishnah discusses what's the din if a person takes a netter, hanoida min hamavushal. A person takes a netter that is not going to eat cooked food. So it depends. Let's say, if you say in English, he's not going to eat cooked food. What does that mean? What if the food is broiled? What about broiled steak? Is that included in cooked foods or not? I'm not sure. What it would be in English and Yiddish, I don't know. So the Mishnah says that bizman atanoim, hanoida min hamavushal, muta b'tzli hu b'sholom. That Sli is not included in the word Mavusha. And the Gemara quotes one Tana who disagrees, Rabbi Yoshia Oyster, and Rabbi Yoshia says that Sli is included in Mavusha. And he brings as a proof, a pasuk he dug up in Divrei Yamin base, all the way at the end of Divrei Yamin, Vayvashlos HaPesach Vayesh Kamishpot, that they broiled the carbon Pesach Vayesh. And it says Vayvashlo. So you see that the word Bishlo applies even if you broil it. So the same will be if a person takes a net and not to eat mevushal. This Tana Rabbi Yoshia disagrees with the Mishnah. He thinks that mevushal is included. So Rabbi Kivegra on the side of the Gemara here is bothered with Akasha. Why did the Rabbi Yoshia quote the pasuk in Divrei Yamim? Why didn't he quote a pasuk that's in Chumash? It says in Parashas Re'eh, Chumash Dvarim, u'vishalta v'yachalta, in connection with the Korban Pesach. How can it say u'vishalta v'yachalta? Korban Pesach needs to sleep. You see that in the Chumash also, Tzli is included in Bishal. So the Netziv gives a teretz on Rabbi Kivega's kashin, the Sefer Meroi Mesodim. He says that to bring a rai from Chumash doesn't prove anything. Like over here, Doga in Chumash refers to both the big fish and the small fish, and B'loshim Adiyodim is Manatanaim. Doga referred only to the small fish, and the word Dag only referred to the large-sized fish. So to quote a pasuk from Chumash is not going to prove the point at all. You want to prove that B'loshim Adiyodim, the word Bishul includes Tzliya. So that's why the Tana Rabbi Yoshia only quotes a pasuk of Divrei Yamim, because Divrei Yamim is Tzuvim, is written below Shem Adiyah. Tzuvim was not dictated word for word, letter for letter to the authors of the Svarim. They had divine inspiration, and then they wrote in their own language. And regarding Nevi'im, that's a shayla, that's a discussion among the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that only Chamisha Chumash Torah were dictated word for word, letter for letter, that all Nevi'im and Ksuvim were written by Lashem Riyadim with divine inspiration. And others say no, that Ksuvim didn't see what we had quoted. Only Ksuvim was Belashim Deodam. And all of the Nevi'im were dictated word for word, letter for letter. So Machlokes, Rishonim, Achrayim, how one should view the Nevi'im. But the Ksuvim is certainly written Belashim Deodam. So that's what the Nitziv says. That's why they quoted the Pasuk from Divrei Hayomim. They didn't quote the Pasuk from Chumash Dvarim, because Chumash Dvarim Bechlal is not a right. It happens the Pasuk from Divrei Hayomim is also not a right. That's what Rabbi Yoshi says, Afal Pi Shein Raya L'Dov V'Zech L'Dov. Why is not a right? Like the Miri always says, Ba'osam Mokam Ba'osam Zman. Maybe in the days of Divrei Hayomim, that's the way they spoke. In the days of the Tanoim, people speak differently. It all depends on Lashon HaYadam, and that's Kufa. It doesn't depend on what used to be Lashon HaYadam 1,000 years earlier. But still, it wouldn't even be a Zech L'Dov. Rabbi Yoshi himself says, Afal Pi Shein Raya L'Dov V'Zech L'Dov Shenemar. He quotes the Pasuk from Divrei Hayomim as a Ktsas Raya. The Pasuk from Chumash Dvarim wouldn't even be a Ktsas Raya. It wouldn't prove anything. Because the Nedarim Halacha HaLashem HaYomim. At least the Pasuk from Divrei Hayomim is a Ktsas Raya. That at least at one time in the history of the world, there was such a usage in Lashem HaYomim. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron did the Makas Dam. All the water turned into dam. And all the fish died because they need water in order to live. And the water was awful. They couldn't drink the water. And they did the same trick. So they didn't accept that as a proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was really a Navi, the fact that he converted water into blood, because they could do that also with their magic. So the Rishonim are bothered with the question, the Balei HaTosfos are bothered with the question, what do you mean by Yasuken Chatuv Mitzrayim? It says, Vayihavchu kol ha'mayim asher bayor ledam, all the water turned into dam, so there was no water left. So where did they get water in order to, that they should prove that they can do the same thing? So the Reish Rav writes in his Sefer on Chumash, Hadrash Vehoiyun, that's Rabbi Aaron Levine's grandfather, Rabbi Aaron Levine, that was his name, he was killed by the Nazis. He writes, he quotes the Taz in Hilchos Ki HaShofar as a famous comment. In the davening on Rosh Hashanah, we say, Melachol Kol Ha'olam Kuloi. This way, that, what do you have to say, Kol Ha'olam Kuloi? Kol Ha'olam? The repetition of the same words. He says, because we have a halacha the ruba kukulay. And even a Lashem Re'arim also, when people say, everybody showed up. And one or two people didn't show up. Everybody showed up means rova the people showed up. Everybody came. Rova the people came. So if we would only say malacha kol ha'olam, maybe it would mean rov ha'olam. So now when you say kol ha'olam kulay, it means tak. So they assume that all the water literally turned into tak. So where was the water left? So they give different suggestions to answer this question. They quote that the Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor is one of the Balei HaTosfos as a Chibur HaChumash. It's problematic though. The Sefer that's printed that says Bechor Shor HaChumash never corresponds to what the other Rishonim quote in the name of the Bechor Shor. So there must be some issue here. There was a person whose name was Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor. He quotes him on the Gemara a lot of times. And he wrote a commentary on Chumash because we have quoted things in his name. But the book that's sold in the stores as the Chidushei Bechor Shor HaChumash must be written by somebody else. That's not the Bechor Shor account. So the quote that Balei HaTosfos quote over here from the Bechor Shor, the water turned to blood just temporarily. It didn't stay as blood. The Pasuk says so. He tied it. Doesn't the Pasuk say? V'hadog asher bayar meisa. It says that all the fish died because there was no water. V'yiv asher ya'or. And then the water smelled because it was full of dead fish. They couldn't drink the water because it was smelly. It doesn't say they couldn't drink the water because it was blood. Who wants to drink blood? No, that trick only lasted for an hour or two. And then the blood turned back into water. But in 1 hour, that was enough to kill all the fish. And then once the fish were dead for an hour or two, or more, whatever, maybe for a day or two, so then the water was smelly, it was spoiled. So the water was spoiled, that's why they didn't want to drink the water. So then the water turned back into water. The blood turned back into water. So there was plenty of water. There was water all over the place. So then the Chatumim showed that they could do the same stuff. That's what the Balei HaTosfos quotes from the Rabbi Yosef Choshen. They don't like that pshat. They don't think that that's correct. Because the Pasuk continues in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. After the fish died, and the water was smelly, so then it continues to conclude, by Adam. So why does it say again, Adam? If according to the Rabbi Yosef Choshen, the pshat is that the water turned into blood temporarily, and that was enough to kill the fish and to make all the water smelly, and then it converted back, that it went back into water. So what is they write that there was Dam Mechaleret Mitzrayim? It was over already. So it's the Pashup Shat and Pashup sounds like. So they catch other Tirutz and they say maybe they took water from Eretz Goshen, from the Bnei Yisrael. Maybe only the water on the surface of the ground turned into Dam. Maybe the water below the surface of the ground wasn't Dam, so they drilled a hole in order to get new water. The Rishonim suggest different Pshatim, but the Kasha is an interesting Kasha. The simple pshat and pasuk, there's something missing over here. Point of information is missing. If all the water turned into dam, so where did the chatumim get water that they should be able to convert into dam? The next topic was tzvadeya. The pasuk says that the tzvadeyim were all over the place. B'tanurecho u'mimisharei secho. Tanurim are the ovens. The question is the oven on or not? So the Gemara says u'mimisharei secho. Mishare secho means your batch of dough. So when you put the batch of dough in the oven, that's the connotation. That's the mashmaz of the pasuk. When the dough is in the oven in order to bake, obviously the fire is going to be on, that's when the frogs are going to be jumping, or whatever the tzvadeh is, the lizards, or whatever they are, the alligators, whatever they are, they're going to be jumping all over the place. So what are they, crazy? What, they jumped into the fire? What, they jumped into the ovens when the fire was on? So the Gemara says, yeah, they were prepared to give up their lives. The Rebbeinu Shalom said he wants tzvadehim all over the land, so they were prepared to give up their lives, al kiddush Hashem, to listen to the tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were prepared. Very nice. The Rebbeinu Shlom never told them that they have to give up their lives. So the Gemara says, Yisachim, a famous Gemara, the Hanan, Mishal, Vazarya, when they were confronted with the Tzelem, and they were told to bow down to the Tzelem, so they made a Kal V'chomer from the Tzfardeim. Ma'adah, these Tzfardeim, whatever they were not commanded Kiddush Hashem. Nevertheless, they're not concealed at all. They're Balei Chaim. They're not human beings. They're not even going. Nevertheless, they were prepared to give up their lives. So we, Hanan Mishal Vazari, we certainly have to give up our lives rather than worship Avodah Zarah. The Tosfos doesn't understand. What do you need a Kal V'chomer for? It's the Chazina Yehar Glayavi. Not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. So that's the famous Tosfos where they quote the Rabbi Natam in different Mesichtos. They quote Pesachim is the main Gemara, Nun Gimel, where they quote Naim Rabbi Natam. That the tzelem that they wanted Hanan Mishal Vazar to bow down to wasn't really an Avodah Zarah. It was just an Andarta Shel Melech. It was just a statue of the king. And he wanted them to bow down Lichvodo, in his honor. There's no prohibition against bowing down in front of a human being to honor him if you're not demonstrating at all that he has any powers of a deity. And they didn't want to bow down in front of the Andarta Shel HaMelech because it may possibly shmek from Avodah Zarah. It may look like you're bowing down to a statue. Somebody may think that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. But the question is, but that's not the din of Yehar Gal Yavar. So they made a Kal V'chomer from the Tzfardim that there's such a thing as volunteering Yehar Gal Yavar. There's such a thing as volunteering to give up your life. That which is a major machlek is Harishayim. Is that so or not? The Rambam says you're not allowed to. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisera Torah that whenever the din is that Yavar Ba'al Yehorig, whenever the din says, let's say a Nachri comes and he holds a gun and he tells me he wants me to be Mechal Shabbos, and if not, he's going to shoot me. So if it's done privately, if it's not Tafnei Asorah Yisrael, so the din is that I'm allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save my life, because Nefesh is Deich, unless it's a Shas Hashmad, even Betzino, even if it's not a Shas Hashmad, if it's Befehes, Tafnei Asorah Yisrael. But otherwise the din says that Yavar Ba'al Yehorig, I'm permitted to violate Shabbos in order to save my life. Kof nefesh is dechi. You don't say you heard Vayavar all the time. So the Rambam says, and what if the fellow will decide, if Nimishu is, I think, wants to be medaktik, not to be Mechal Shabbos, let the goy kill me? let the guy kill me. I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to. That's like suicide. You're not permitted. This is also called suicide. Let me buy a real suicide is also. This is also called suicide. It's chayiv. The one who will be Moisa Nefesh will be punished in Bezan Shamayla for having given up his life. That's how the Rambam writes. And the Balei HaTosfos held not so. Balei HaTosfos and the Ramban disagree. And they held that there is such a thing as a voluntary Kiddush Hashem, even if you're not mitzvah. So this is the pshat that the Rabbi Natam interpreted in this Kal V'chomer. The Hanani Mijol V'Azariah situation was not really one of Yehori Galyav. It wasn't actual Avodah Zarah. Nonetheless, they volunteered to give up their lives because it looked like it was they were afraid it was going to look like Avodah Zarah. And they were done a Kal V'chomer from the Tzvardeya, even though the Tzvardeya doesn't have an Easter of suicide. So that's Tircha. That's what the Balei HaTosfos all that was the pshat. They're not bothered with the pirch. The next makkah Rashi points out, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, that the Chatumim attempted to do the trick of bringing out Kinim, v'lo yacholu, that they were unable to do. Why v'lo yacholu? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, she'en ha'sheit shalat al b'riya p'chusim b'kisar. That's the Gemara Masechus Sanhedrin. The Maharal Prague in his commentary on Chumash, called the Gurariye, writes on this Rashi, that he thinks that this probably has some relationship, this is probably the reason why the din is that the sheer kisara plays a role in tumas shrotzim. If you have a dead mouse, so how much flesh do you have to have? One of the shmeini shrotzim hamur matar, one of the eight rodents that the Torah singles out, that the metame, not all dead the rodents are metame. The nevela is metame, that's behema chayo. Nivlois of tohar is metame, abeis habli, a special din. And the shiratzim, the shmana shiratzim ha-metam. So what's the shir? So the Gemara says the shir is not kazayis, the shir is kisayra. Pachas, mi kisayra would not be metam. Kisayra is very tiny, you think. Kisayra is the size of a barley grain, chita sayra. So it's very tiny. Shir sayra is relevant for tefillin. Shir, for the width of the tefillin, not the thickness. The tefillin have to be, the ritzulis have to be so wide, like the length of a barley grain. They're different sizes barley grains. That's why, Whatever size your ritzuas are, if you go to the disciples, so you got to get a bigger one. Because the bigger size is barley grains. Barley grains are not so big. The pashtus is all the ritzuas. It's very high. It's very rare to find ritzuas that are less than a kisera. In the recent years, there a lot of people are machmer for the chazanish shirim, so the chazanish has the biggest shir in the sera. It's a longer sera. But over here, it's not a length, it's not a shear in length, here it's a shear in volume, the volume of the surah. The surah is also very tiny. So the Maharal Mipraq feels that there must be some relationship between the two, that the halacha, that pochas mikisera is not metameh, must be related to the fact that the shed is not shelet al pochas mikisera. And at that time, the Chatumim said to Paro, Etzba Elokimhi. Why did they say that? Pashup Shat, up until now, we could do the same stunt. But this we can't do, so this is really Min HaShemayim. This is not just magic, this is not just a trick. That's the Pashup Shat. That's what Rashi says. Makus Lo'enai Dek Shofim, Meis HaMokami. That's the Pashup Shat. Some Rishonim, some of the Balei HaTosfos interpret Etzba Elokimhi to mean that this is just beginning. Hey, this is what's happening. This is just going to be the beginning. This is one finger. We're going to get it over the head. They were wanting Paro that this power is something much greater than magic. And if this is what they can do, so they can do much worse things as well. Nonetheless, he says, "Vayechazak leiv Paro v'lasham aleim kadosh kasha divrasha." He didn't even listen to his yotzim, and they were fully convinced that this was meyes hamokam in Hashemayim. finally, by the next Makkah, by Makkah Zarev, so Paro starts to negotiate a little bit. He says, what do you want already? You want to bring karbonis? Okay, go bring the karbonis. Ba'aretz, bring the karbonis here, ba'aretz. What do you have to leave? So he says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'yom Moshe, lo nochon lasis kein, ki to'avas Mitzrayim nizbach l'Hashem elokeinu. What does it mean, to'avas Mitzrayim? So the Targum Unkelis gives you the translation. V'iro, the Mitzray dachnen lei, the deity of the Egyptians, they used to worship animals. So the deity of the Egyptians is what we have to use as the Korban Pesach. The people will stone us. We have to leave the country. We can't bring the Korban Pesach over here. So why does he refer to it as Toavas Mitzrayim? The Torah Tmim, I think, quotes in the name of the Sefer Revid HaZohar, if I'm not mistaken, he quotes it somewhere here. The Revid HaZohar is a Sefer on Chumash written by a Dayan in Vilna, who quotes all of the Gemaras and all the Rishonim and all the Sifrei Halacha who have comments on these psukim. That's what the Torah Tmim writes in his introduction, that he used it a lot. He used it a lot. Ruba the Ruba of the Torah Tmim is all on top of the line, at least. It's all straight from the Revid HaZohar. Once in a while he quotes by name. So he says the Revid HaZohar has a comment on this pasuk. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu refer to it as Toavas Mitzrayim? Because the Gemara comments on the pasuk, the Ibadatem Eshmam and Amok Mahu, that when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you destroy the Avodah Zarah, so part of the mitzvah is to be Mechan Hashem L'Gnai, to change the name of the Avodah Zarah, that we don't refer to the God of the neighbors over here by his name. We call him Osavish, that fellow. Or we call him Yoshkit. We don't call him by his correct name. Or we don't refer to their holiday by its correct name. We call it Kratzmach. Why do you make fun of it? Because the Gemara says that you have to. The Gemara says you have to be Mechan Hashem L'Gnai. We have a very jealous God, Kel Kanu Hashem, just like sometimes a husband and a wife. The husband is a very jealous lover. Well, the wife is very jealous and she doesn't want her husband to look at any other women. So the wife, the husband is jealous, he doesn't want his wife to talk to any other men, whatever. So the Baruch Shalom is a jealous God. He says so. Kel Kanu Hashem. He's very jealous. Doesn't want us to look at another Avodah Zarah. Doesn't want us to read about another Avodah Zarah. Doesn't want us to think about it. Doesn't want us even to mention the name. He's a very jealous God. What can we do? So here also, Moshe Rabbeinu refers in the presence of Paro, he says, what, we're gonna shecht your getchkes? He refers to them as the getchkes, as your Tavis Mitzrayim, as your gilubim, soya. In fact, at the end of the parasha, Rashi writes, by the Makas Borod, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, Kitzesi Esoir, when I leave the city, I will pray for you. Why does he have to leave the city? I will pray for you, and says that he left the city. Why does he have to leave the city? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that calls him, he wasn't allowed to daven in the city because it was full of Avodah Zarah, and you're not permitted to daven in front of Tzoya or Meraglayim. And Avodah Zarah has the same status as Tzoya Meraglayim. Why does Avodah Zarah have the same status as Tzoya Meraglayim? Has a bad radar? Has a bad odor? Has a bad rash? No. It's not Allah if something has a bad odor. Let's say there's a chemical. The Pasuk says Allah Almighty, let's say there's a chemical that has a terrible odor. So the din is that you're permitted to daven there. Only if there's tzoya meraglayim, you're not allowed to daven. Because there was something that decomposed, something that was originally good, or let's say ki, vomit. You're not allowed to daven in front of vomit. Why? Because it originally started off as good food, delicious food. And then when it was hit by all the enzymes in the stomach and the person throws it up, so it's now spoiled. But if this is a natural thing, if you have a chemical that has a terrible odor, so even before you get used to it, the din says that even when it's annoying, you are permitted to daven. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not something natural that decomposed that's spoiled. However, the Zarah, it's something that originally started off as part of the Bria, and then because the people worship Avodah Zarah, it becomes Asabanah. True, the behemoths don't become Asa Ba'anor, the halacha is that Balechaim don't become Asa Ba'anor, but still they have a shame of a desire upon them. So it's also considered that they get the Kruvis. If you bring the Kruvis to the behemoths, even though the behemoth itself is Muta Ba'anor, Rashi writes in Chulun Daf Mem, the Torah Tmim quotes that here. Rashi writes in Chulun Daf Mem, even though the behemoth is not Asa Ba'anor, but still the shame of a desire does have, might not Kimina, that the tikruv is the sacrifices that you offer to the behemah, which you feel is a deity, will be also banah. So it's considered as if anything that's let's say if you just have a cross in the room, a tzelem in the room, and the goyim don't really worship that cross, that's just a religious symbol. So strictly speaking, you're permitted to daven in such a room. That's not called davening in front of an avodah zarah. But let's say you have not all of the goyim fully understand their religion. So the pashut shcheinim that we have here in the neighborhood, the Sephardim in the neighborhood, they don't understand exactly what their religion is all about. So some of them right in the open shnevish, right in front of the garbage, there's a yoizel standing there. In fact, one of the supers, every day when he packs the garbage, he always tells himself, he always makes it slum on his heart in front of the, as he's carrying out the garbage. Such a mechubadike thing. He always makes it slum in front of the eyes. So a lot of them worship the statue. A lot of the plain hamoinam of the Christians worship the cross that has Yashka on it. So if they worship that cross, that's taka avodah zarah. So then it's taka asubano. So then it's taka is. We call it Avodas Gilulim. Why do we call it Avodas Gilulim? So some of the poskim say because the taka has a din like tzoya, like meraglam, that the taka not permitted to daven terch tal ramis of such a thing. It's something that decomposed, that decayed. It started off as a good piece of metal, and then it became rotten, it became spoiled. The Mepharshim, the Rishonim ask, how come the Rishonim Nachman discuss it? How come only by Makas Borod, Moshe Rabbeinu says Kitzei Si Esalir? He's going to have to leave the city because the city is full of Avodas Zarah. On earlier occasions also it says he's going to daven for them, and it doesn't say he's going to leave the city. Why dafka on the occasion of Baruch? So some of the Mepharshim point out that when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them the Nebuah about the Borah, he told them that they should take all of the behemoths from the field. Shlach ha'ezis mitnach of his kol ha'shalachot ha'asad kol ha'adam v'habeinu ha'ashe imatza v'asad v'lo yosef ha'bayis of yor alem ha'bor v'meis ha'yor is v'ar shem yavdi parah ha'enis es ha'vod v'es mitnach el ha'batim. So normally Moshe Rabbeinu was always going to Parah in the daytime. In the daytime, there were no behemoths in the city. The behemoths are roaming around in the field. Why should the behemoths be in the city? But this, on the occasion of the Barad, those who were Yorei Ezvar Hashem, those who were not Yorei Ezvar Hashem, were so stupid, they left the behemoths in the field and they got killed. It's Pilei Ploim, not to be understood. After Dam Tzvadei Akinim Dever, so all the so many makas, they weren't even afraid. Maybe the man knows what he's talking about. No, still not. Only those who were Yorei Ezvar Hashem, only those who had a spark of Yirah Shamayim, so they took the behemoths into their homes in the city. So the city on this occasion was full of Avodah Zarah. That's what some of the Mepharshim point out. On the earlier occasions, you don't have cows in the houses. The cows are on the farm. Only on this occasion, the cows were in the city. Pesuk has a striking lashon when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem. Vayetze Moshe mi'im paro esalir. He leaves the whole city. Chutz l'avodah zarah. Vayifras kapo vel Hashem. He spreads out his hands. This was a common practice, this Man HaTanah, to daven with priests' kapo. Exactly how did they do that? So the Zohar Goyin in his commentary, in the beginning of Sefer Yishayah, writes, when you stretch out your hands, I will not listen to you. What is that referring to? You're all murderers. So the Bir Agra quotes on Yishai, quotes from the Gemara that it has two meanings. It means a kohen sharabes hanefesh leisas kapa, a kohen who killed someone is not allowed to duchen. So friskum kapech means when the kohanim duchen, they hold their hands like this. Or friskum kapech, if you're going to daven to me. If any Jew, not Kohanim, if any Jew will want to daven to me, I'm not going to listen to your prayers. You're a bunch of murderers. You don't deserve to have your prayers answered. So the Vilna Gaon writes that there are two ways of doing priestess kapayim. And he gives a mashal amad of a daim. If you have an oni stretches out his hand, look anywhere, do you want. If you have an oni stretch out his hand, he asks for an adovin. So the oshir puts his hand in his pocket, he takes out some cash, coins, and he puts it into the oni's hand. So the Ani is holding his hand like this because he's asking for an adovah, and the Yashir who's giving holds his hand like this. So when the Kohanim Duchen, they're giving a bracha. So they hold their hands like this, like in the position of one who's giving, like one who's giving the money. When they used to daven priest's kapayim, they would hold their hands like this because they were asking, they're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give something. That's how the Vilna Gaon writes that there are two forms of priest's kapayim. For duchening is this way, and for tefillah would be the opposite. With the palms stretched upward to ask for the nedarim. The Kivega and Arachayim, both the Achrayim who discussed the topic, why is it that we no longer have that practice today? Why weren't the Chachamim misakin that we should daven Shemana Esrei with priest's kapayim? They were misakin, we should stand with our feet together and properly dressed and so on. Why weren't they misakin a chelik of the davening should be that we should have priest's kapayim? So it refers you to some Achrayim who discussed it, and they say at the time the Chachamim were misakin the tefillah, the Yod Avodah Zarah had already adopted that form of worship, to daven with their hands outstretched. The Chachamim didn't want to institute that by us, even though originally in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the way they daven. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech, throughout Tanakh, that's the way they used to daven. But since in later generations, this practice was adopted, L'shem Avodah Zarah, like Matzeva Rashi writes, Matzeva was originally Ohu B'mei Ha'avos, and then later on, B'mei Abonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited because it became a practice for Avodah Zarah. So we no longer do it. Is that the same over here? Notice one of the Rishonim had a comment when the Borod ended. It was the very end of the Seder. It says, "Vayachtu vayetz Moshe v'yifus kapev al Hashem vayachtu lu hakolos v'haborod amotor vayachtu lu hakolos v'haborod umotor lo nita haparetzlam." Rishon writes a comment, one of the Balei HaTes, I'm not sure what he's driving at. He says, Vayachdalu HaKolos means that they were temporarily suspended. But they weren't removed totally because they were continued later at the occasion of the Matan Torah. Somehow he understands that the Kolos at the time of Matan Torah were a Hemshech of the Kol of the Borod. It's a different location. I don't exactly understand what, maybe it's a medrash, I don't know, but I saw one of the Balei HaTes writes like that. Vayachdalu HaKolos has the connotation of temporarily suspended until a later time. Interesting, there's a medrash that has to do with the present president of the United States. So is that possible? He called Gam Paro Lamachashrim. How does it say? It's early at the beginning of the parsha. But the word Gam doesn't really fit in there. Perik Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. Moshe throws a stick down and it turns into a snake. So we understand why it says, they repeated the same trick that Moshe Rabbeinu did. They showed they can do it also. So it doesn't necessarily prove that he's really a Navi. That's not a noise. In order to establish yourself as a Navi, you have to give a noise that others cannot repeat. But he didn't demonstrate anything here. If the Chartumim can do it, I did Kishu. But what is the first word, Gam? Vayikra Gam Paro. Say Vayikra Paro Lachachamim Lamachashvim. So the Rishonim quote a medrash. I didn't look it up in the original. The Balei HaTes quote a medrash that Gam Paro is referring to Mrs. Paro. not only Paro, but the Iker, his wife, was very involved in astrology and all these kind of things. And she was the one who encouraged the husband to call the Mechashrim and the Mavatim and see if they can repeat it. It's interesting, throughout the whole Chumash, she never says Beferish anything about what Mrs. Parah had to say about it. The Medrash says that she had a lot to say. But Gam Parah is referring to this one.